suffering from Crohn's disease, rather than submit to a colostomy? My guest received a miracle healing next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Diane Evans. Now, Diane did not have a normal upbringing. Diane, at a young age, you were sickly. Mm-hmm. What was wrong?
I had Crohn's disease, and no one knew really what it was when I was 12 years old.
Why didn't they know?
Well, at that time, you know, just doctors didn't know too much about it. It was only discovered by Dr. Crohn's and Dr. Genowitz in 51. So the doctors that I went to as I was growing up just mm-hmm. didn't have that kind of information.
So what were the symptoms?
Chronic diarrhea, very tired.
So like Epstein-Barr type of thing?
Yeah, something like that, yep. And malnutrition, low blood, tired, you know, low iron. They always wanted to pump me up with Geritol.
But I understand it got so bad that you actually felt you should write your will at that young age?
Well, no, it wasn't at that time. I was diagnosed when I was 21 with the mm-hmm. disease itself. And in the later 80s, I found myself bedridden. And my children were around 12 and 16 at the time. And, well, it was pretty bad. Staying in bed was kind of like a lifestyle.
Describe to me what you were like at your worst moment.
My worst moment would be laying in bed, crying in excruciating pain, hoping and praying that God would just take the pain away for a minute. Just a minute would help. That would be the most excruciating time. Other than that, just rolling around in bed thinking of maybe I will have enough strength to get up today to take a shower. That was a feat.
What did your children think about this?
Well, my son Todd at the time, just a month before the healing, they had to write an article for school. Mm-hmm. And his article was what he would do with $1 million. And I think his second paragraph in his little letter kind of described what it did for the kids. And if you would, I'd read that part. It says, my mom has a disease that does not have a cure. I would give money to the laboratory that is trying to find the cure. I would also give money to help pay for all the medical treatments she would need. And it was really, really that time was the worst. I talked to them about probably dying and soon and going to heaven. And where would they
Was this the medical prognosis, or you just felt you would die?
Well, if you're in bed all the time and you cannot be productive in life and you can see your body kind of wasting away, it was something that I was really crying out for God to do. He either had to, you know, I gave God an ultimatum. because I was so unproductive, mm-hmm. I wasn't really a mother or a wife, or I wasn't really good for anything here. And so I knew I was kind of wasting away, and it was a matter of time for me. That's how I felt inside. So I was either going to get cured, or I was going to go home to see my maker, and that's where I was.
Now, did you go to a good doctor?
Well, I certainly did. I went from doctor to doctor to doctor. You know, I just kept trying to find someone that would help me. And we met this couple, a Jewish couple, and they sat at our kitchen table and they said, what you need to do is you need to go to New York. You need to sit down with this doctor. He's a gastroenterologist, and he's the guy you got to see at Temple Sinai. And of course, we wanted to go. I wasn't going too far from the house because I needed to be close to a bathroom. Riding in a car was too painful. A minor bump in the road was excruciating painful for me. But we took the trip to Manhattan, which was about a three-hour ride, I'm assuming. My husband would, he's together with all that kind of stuff, I'm not. But we took the ride, and we saw Dr. Genowitz. And when we walked in, we knew we were at the right place.
Was he expert in Crohn's disease?
Oh, was he an expert? He was one of the founders of Crohn's disease with Dr. Crohn's in 1951. Mm. So I guess we were at the right place at the right time, and I figured he was going to cure it all. But he said there wasn't a cure.
And what was his prognosis?
His prognosis.
To stay the way you are?
Well, there are trade-offs with Crohn's disease. Most doctors will tell you that. The medication will tell your body you're not sick and hopes that it will go into remission. And he led me to a doctor in Rhode Island that was going to try to change my meds, but his letter said that I would probably have to go for surgery for a colostomy.
That's a very bad thing to look towards. What did you feel when he said you needed a colostomy? That's a horrible type of operation.
Yes, it is, but more than just the operation itself, the study that I have done on the disease told me other things, that when you do have Crohn's disease, if they take out part of your intestine, it will come up in other areas, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, throat, you know.
It was no win.
That's right. It would come up somewhere else sooner or later. It would get worse. So I said, well, you know, I'm not going for that. It's not worth it. It will just get worse. And as it was, I had sores in my mouth and my ears and the pain in the bones and the back. And it just kept growing.
Now, you have your x-rays and long medical reports over there, which pretty much substantiate everything that you've been telling me. But did he offer you, did this doctor offer you hope?
Though? No, he didn't.
I mean, he's one of the founders of the disease.
That's
right. And he didn't offer you any
hope. That's right. That's right. He said I had to learn to live with it, learn to change my lifestyle. And my lifestyle wasn't any good. I mean, staying home wasn't too much fun.
So what did you do? You just said, take me or cure me?
Yeah, I got to the point that I'd even tell my husband, I just really want to die. And
how did he react when you'd say that?
Oh, no, you don't. You're not sick, he would say. Oh, man of faith, I'll tell you. he'd roll over in the bed, and I couldn't even stand the movement in the bed because it would hurt. My body would just hurt all over. And I had a cleaning lady, and she came, and she said to me, she says, you know, we are having a couple come in to our church, and they're going to teach us about healing, and I'd like you to come.
Did that interest you?
Oh, did it. This was like the ray of sunshine came into my house.
So medically, there's no hope, and this couple is going to teach on healing. What have you got to lose?
Exactly. And I knew that somehow deep inside, I just knew that I knew that this was my time. I was going to be healed. I knew it.
And you know, just as you knew that it was your time, I believe there are people that are watching us right now that know that they know that it's their time. You're about ready to hear a glorious miracle. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm here with a woman that had no reason to continue living. The pain was so excruciating from Crohn's disease. Medical science had no answers. They wanted to give her a colostomy. And then the disease would have gone to some other part of her body. It was called no win. Then her maid said to her, Diane, there's a couple coming to my church, and they're going to teach on healing. Will you come? And Diane said, well, I've got nothing to lose. It's a ray of hope. So you went. What happened next?
We went to the church, and my husband at the time was working. We're self-employed. He's self-employed, and so he made way for him to be with me. I would never go without him.
Why?
Well, when we got married, we made a vow that we do everything together. And so we're really attached, I guess, like Siamese twins.
And he stuck with you in this Crohn's disease.
Amazing. To this day, I don't know how he did it. I was miserable. I was grouchy and snappy. And at the time, his two-year-old daughter used to say, you know, Mommy's really grouchy. And she'll tell you today how miserable I was. And I don't know how we did it.
But you went to the church, the healing couple. They were teaching on healing. This was the Hunters,
that's
who are
right.
friends of mine.
Yes.
And what happened next? You went with your husband. Did your maid go too?
Oh, yes. Yes, Marie came with us. And the three of us sat together. And it was very interesting for us because I've never seen anything like it. They were teaching about how to lay hands on people, and that was like weird to me, lay hands on mm-hmm. people. You know, it was odd. And we saw some miraculous healings while we were there. That whole time we were there, we saw club feet, you know, just toes spring out of people's...
Mm. You'd never seen this before?
Never, never. And people was like falling over, which I know is called slaying the spirit, but I'm saying, my God, what is going on? It was totally bizarre. If I would have saw it on TV, I would have said it was a hoax, it was TV magic, all of mm-hmm. that. But miracle after miracle in front of us, carpet tunnel and everybody getting all these outward things you could see from the outside. And mine, as you know, was in the inside, other mm-hmm. than the fact that I looked really sick. And I said, my God. But they never called me up. That whole first session, they never called us up.
Were you disappointed?
I was thoroughly disappointed. And our cleaning lady was thoroughly bold. And she was the quiet, mildest person you ever want to meet. And she got boldness on her. I couldn't believe it. She wrote notes to the ushers and sent ushers running around with stuff. And
pray for my friends.
Yeah, it was like incredible. And finally she says, before you go, you're going to meet them. She brought us in the back room before lunch. And she says, you'll meet them. And we did. We met them back there. And they both said a couple of little words over us. And she touched me on my shoulder. And my cleaning lady was standing behind me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what it was, but man, it felt really weird, and my whole body kind of shook a little, and she went flying up against the wall, which was
flying.
About, yeah, flying.
What happened to her? In other words, the same power that touched you went through you and went right into her.
I guess that's what happened because she ended up. It was like a bolt.
How far did she go?
She went about 5 or 6 feet right into the wall behind me.
What did you think?
I looked at her and I says, "Wow, was she trip or something?" I didn't know what was going on. And Charles came over to me and said, you know, you need another jolt of that. And she went flying again, and I just didn't know what was happening.
There's the evangelist, the husband, Charles Hunter. He prayed for your
yeah.
maid, and she went flying
no,
in the air?
No, he touched me, and she went flying again.
Wait a second. He touches you, and she flies.
And she went flying. I know.
I don't want to be around you when someone touches you.
You might fall right down. It was totally crazy. I had no clue what was happening to me. Other than the fact that we're walking out, and she said, you know, you have to come back in the afternoon. Can you come back? And Dick and I just glanced at each other's eyes, and, you know, he said, oh, yeah, we'll come back. And all I knew walking out of there before lunch was that my insides were like jello. I was shaking and quivering in the inside, and Dick was holding onto me as we were walking to the car. And he thought I was going to get sick, so he kept inquiring how I was. And I says, well, I feel fine, but... You know, I'm feeling weird inside. I feel jello, everything's shaking inside. And it was just a weird thing. And she's told me before we left, she says, will you go and have a great lunch? And, you know, it was days since I've eaten. So I could tell you exactly what
now,
I ate.
Now, I could see when you even talk about it, it's like that person doesn't even exist today. But did you eat then?
Oh, man. May 28th, 1991, I had my first real meal.
Did you get sick?
Oh, no, and it tastes so good. I had a half a turkey club sandwich with all the stuff you're not supposed to eat, like all the roughage and all that stuff, and the tomato, and you're not supposed to have seeds, and they give you a whole list of stuff you're not supposed to eat. I ate it, and I had French fries and a Coke.
And that should have, if you had had that before they prayed for you, what would have happened?
Before I finished eating, I would have been running to the bathroom in pain with diarrhea, sweating, chills. I would have had it good. But I ate it all and I came back. We came back for the afternoon and we sat there and there was a little music going on. And during the music, I just started crying my eyes out, kept crying and crying, and I knew that day I was going to walk out of there healed. And I looked at my husband and I said, honey, I don't know, but I'm going to be healed today. If I go up on that platform, I'm going to be healed. But I know the Lord wants something of us. And I says, I won't go up there unless you want to be a part of it with me.
So you made your husband go up with you?
No, a part of whatever God had for me. If he didn't want to do whatever God wanted us to do, I wasn't going to go up there. Because
So you were basically saying, we're making a commitment.
Yeah. I knew that if I didn't go up, I would probably die. But I also knew if I went up, I would live, and the Lord would have a mission for us.
And you wanted your husband with you?
Always. So
you went up there. What happened?
When I went up there, it was amazing. Francis started telling the story of this nurse that had Crohn's disease, and she prayed for her and she was healed. And I said, well, that sounds neat, but what about me? You know, I'm just standing there, little old me, you know. Well, you know, here I am. And she looked at me, and something happened when I connected with her eyes.
Hold that thought. Something is going to happen to you when you connect with the Messiah of Israel through Diane's eyes in this next segment. Don't go away. Hello, Sid Roth back here, your investigative reporter. I'm with Diane Evans, and Diane is just a normal woman that's trying to live. She has Crohn's disease, and her body is not functioning normal. She doesn't even want to live. She writes her will. She says, either heal me or take me. And she goes to a healing service where she is taught for the first time about healing. She goes forward to be prayed for by the evangelist. What happened next, Diane?
Well, I looked into her eyes, and before you know it, I was on the ground. I had no clue.
What were you doing on the ground?
I didn't know. Something came over to me. I just went, whap, down I went, and it was the most horrible feeling I've ever experienced in my life. I felt that I was in a tidal wave. My whole body was erupting. My legs were flailing, my stomach and my chest was heaving.
Your husband must have been really upset.
Oh, I'm sure he was watching with wide eyes. We talked a lot about it later, and my arms were all over the place, and I was screaming, and I thought everyone afterwards would have heard me, but apparently it was internal, and I was screaming for the Lord to help me, to help me. And I didn't hear everything what Frances was saying, but she was speaking to my intestinal area in my body to be healed. And I got up off that floor, and she said, well, do something you couldn't do before. And I started banging on my stomach because I couldn't touch that before. And
what would happen if you had banged on your stomach before?
Oh, I couldn't touch my stomach.
But if you did it, what would have happened?
I'd just be in pain. I would double over in pain. I couldn't lean on the kitchen sink without being in pain. So it was better off, like, all hands off, you know, just don't even touch me. So I was banging on my belly and twisting around and feeling kind of really weird, very unstable. And the next thing I wanted to do is I just wanted to be in my husband's arms to tell him that the Lord really touched me and healed me. And I couldn't believe it. It was like suddenly it happened. And it seemed like all those years went by in a flash of an eye.
What are you holding there on your
Well,
mat?
This is a prayer shawl, and it's a tallit, as you know. And during that time of my illness, I was really calling out to God, to touch the hem of his garment. And in Luke, it talks about the woman of the issue of blood, mm-hmm. that she just was able to touch his garment. So I have this today for people to see that they can touch the hem of his garment, actually touch the Lord. And if you out there are thinking about your illness,
you know,
or if
what
you
I
have
want
Crohn's
them to do?
Disease.
I want you've prayed for people with Crohn's disease that have been healed.
Yes, we have.
How many years has it been since you received your healing?
Since 91, so I believe it'll be 9 years.
Okay. I want you to look at those that need a healing. If you need a healing right now, I want you to look right on the screen and Diane, look right into the eyes of Diane. And she's going to, you see, now she moves in supernatural words of knowledge. She knows things. How does she know? The Spirit of God tells her. The Spirit of God is going to talk right through her to you. And Diane, what I want you to do is for you to take that the tallit, the fringes, mm-hmm. and you. I want the those that need a healing to just reach out to by faith, to touch these fringes. Now you look at them. Let them look in your eyes.
Well, I know right now for this very second as I'm speaking, there's someone thinking that, you know, she's speaking about me. I don't want to go on. I don't want to live like this any longer. So I'm telling you right now, yes, the one in desperation, I just feel the Lord is saying there's someone in desperation crying out to him, looking for him. This is your point of contact with your Lord, your Messiah. He is going to heal you today. Know that the Lord will cover you and cleanse you and clean you out of your diversity and your illness, and you will be healed.
In Jesus' name. You see, Diane said, suddenly, it's in the name of Yeshua. It's in the name of Jesus. Suddenly. I don't know whether you felt anything or not, but I can tell you, I felt a tangible presence of the living God. And when you have the Word of God, and God's speaking to me, Diane, right now, and God is saying there is someone that has a pain in the neck and you are healed. In fact, a curse is literally, it's coming off of you right now. And now there's someone that has something wrong with their spine, mm-hmm. with their back, and you're being healed, you're being restored. Diane, are you getting anything?
Mm-hmm. The Lord says that, oh my God, the glory of God is in here.
I know.
It's awesome. You know, right now the Lord is just pouring out his glory on someone. The one with the pain in the neck, the growth in the neck, right now it's just dissolving. By the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. He is dissolving it right now. I feel it going. It's gone. It's gone.
And some of you are saying, well, he didn't say what I have. Well, I've got news for you. Once one word is spoken from God, mm-hmm. and these were words spoken, we're just good secretaries. I happen to be a good Jewish secretary. I heard God say about the neck, Diane had a little bit more. Once these words are spoken, I tell you that the heavens are opened for healing. And the person with the problem with the back, I keep hearing about you. I want you to stand up and I want you to bend over. And the person with the bad hip, if I were you, I'd get out of my wheelchair, I would get out of my couch, you couch potato you, and I'd start running around. I'd rejoice. How much did you rejoice when you were healed?
Oh my goodness, did I jump around. I jumped, came home, told my son, my 16-year-old son, he couldn't wait, he had to go to church to figure it out for himself. Everywhere I went, I told the miracle that God did for me. And everywhere I went, I touch someone else for healing.
And that's what the Bible says you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. It says the devil is overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You see, the blood talks about the healing, and the word of your testimony has you proclaim what God has done, and then people will want to know about God. It's so simple, you need help to get confused. So you pick up the telephone and you tell someone, God just came in my living room. God just came in the bar. God just came in the bar. God just came into my kitchen. He healed me. He's good. He's real. Jesus is alive. Jesus in me is alive. Get excited. Come on, you can do it.